I want to say this before we go any further. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we gather in this space this morning around your holy word, and we give you thanks like Isaiah did, that your word stands the test of time and is here present for us now. So Lord, don't let my thoughts get in the way. Don't let my notes get in the way, Lord. We want to hear from you this morning, please. As we gather in this space, we yield ourselves to you. I yield my lips. We together yield our ears to what you would have shared here this morning. Be present here with us by your Holy Spirit in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love being your pastor. I love being present here. One of the things that seems to always come when there's a death and a passing is a sense of regret of those things that for one reason or another we didn't say, didn't give enough time for, didn't take care of in the last gym class. Those kinds of thoughts, those things that don't get said. So part of what we're going to be doing this morning is, at least I think that's what the goal the Lord's going to do here, is prepare the way of the Lord. Because we need to acknowledge that God is coming. God is coming. God is coming. Are we ready? Are we ready? How many of you know that you're going to die? That's pretty good representation. Those of you that didn't get your arm in the air, well, I got information for you. How many of you have your funeral plans together? Good job. Wow. That's impressive. That's really impressive. One of the things that I think is interesting as we look at these scriptures is the fact that it seems as if, one way or another, the people of Israel treated God like a cupcake. Treated God like a cupcake. Let that one soak in just a little bit. They liked the sweet stuff on top, but they didn't always get deep into what God was calling them to do. They didn't take in all that God was calling them to be as a people, and so they sort of just added a little God to what they were doing. So when Isaiah hears that Hezekiah has invited all the Babylonians to come through his temple, and come through the storehouses and see all the riches of his nation, Isaiah says, dude, you can go back to chapter 39. Dude, what were you thinking? Because in one way or another, Hezekiah had paved the way by his pride, by his arrogance, for the people in the next generation to be carried off to Babylonia. And we're not talking figuratively. We're talking real people, real life. If you think of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Esther, Mordecai, these are real people that were carried off because of Hezekiah's arrogance. And while we don't see it in the text, between chapter 39 and chapter 40 is 80 to 160 years. Isaiah saw it as a vision. So that these words that we have in Isaiah 40 were the words that these people carried off would carry with them as comfort. These would be the words that Daniel would reflect on in the midst of his being carried off and, yes, made a eunuch, just like Isaiah's prophecy said he would be. This is real life stuff we've got in the Bible. It's a real life happening. And yes, we are like grass. Our time on earth is short. Are we ready? God is coming. Are we ready? Hezekiah's arrogance is summed up in that one verse, in that verse 8. When he says to Isaiah, your spoken word is good, Hezekiah replied, for he thought there will be peace and security in my lifetime. So it won't affect me. It won't affect me. How do we approach our life before God? Knowing that He is coming. I mean, after this event, Jesus Christ came into the world. He talked about grace. He talked about forgiveness. He talked about what the church was going to do, what the kingdom of God was going to do in the world, and how people of the kingdom would be. It's upside down compared to a lot of things that we see in our culture. But if we call ourselves God's people, we follow what Jesus said to do. Grief is an interesting thing. I've been through it a few times myself. And that time of drawing inside of ourselves and keeping to ourselves sometimes gets longer. It's sort of a denial that anything's happened. It's sort of a way of keeping from engaging it. But I'd like to nudge us this morning in the midst of our grief that it's not fair to keep us to ourselves. Because like those who were taken off into bondage into Babylonia by the arrogance of a king, we often in our own arrogance will deny the hurt and the pain and the bondage of our sin, the things that hold us back from being the people of God in this day and time. We know from 1 Peter that God is patient with us. That God's holding off. Trent, would you pull up that passage from 2 Peter chapter 3? And that is just way too small for me. Let's just leave it up there and let's refer to it. One of the things that is important to Peter in this passage is to make it plain to us that God hasn't quite come yet for a reason. God is patient. And He's waiting. God doesn't want anyone to miss the kingdom of God. And He's holding off. My prayer is that the kingdom of God is not being held back by the church itself. That we are not like Hezekiah and selfish. And in a time when we could really share God's love and good news, we're not keeping it back. There's a story that D. Paul told me, and I was checking with somebody this morning that I thought knew the details. But I wish I would have engaged D. Paul in another conversation to get the details of that story that he alone could pass on to me. But now he's gone. And what I wonder this morning, if part of our pain might be wrapped up in the words we're not saying. If part of our hurt may be wrapped up in the things that we haven't done, that we know needs to be done. If part of our hurt isn't wrapped up in one way or another in sin that we know we need to confess, and we haven't got the job done. If there's a message that comes out of this last week, it's that we do not know when our last moment will be. And we want to minister to these kids that have been part of that last moment of Teresa's life. But I think the message is for each and every one of us here this morning. So we want to break it loose, if you will. This is the extent of the sermon this morning. I've tried to exemplificate, I try to confess my sins to you. I try to be an example of confession. But what I've noticed is I don't hear confession. That hasn't been part of our sharing time. Maybe it needs to be. Because I feel there's a healing that needs to happen in our church. There are open wounds among us. And to be the kingdom of God that is truly to engage this community, we need to speak. So during the course of the next part of our service, we're going to have song, we're going to have the candle lighting and things like that. But I also want to invite you, if you need to have some conversations that need to happen with someone in this room, I invite you to take them and have that conversation. There's comfortable places out in the foyer. The prayer room is back over here. There's two chairs. It won't accommodate a crowd, but there's two chairs in there. You can even go upstairs if you'd like. There's classrooms. Brothers and sisters, dare we not take the opportunity that God gives us to speak what needs to be said into each other's lives? Because we do not know what tomorrow will bring. One of the things that was shared yesterday about Teresa's passing was that they were just with her in gym class. If they'd had only known. If they'd only known. But we don't. We don't. So let's take the opportunity to do like Jesus did, to speak those words that need to be spoken, but to love each other in a way that goes beyond our differences. Maybe we don't always agree on everything, but can't we still love each other? Can't we still embrace each other? Can't we still be Jesus in this community at this day and time? Maybe even our politics aren't always the same, but can't we hug and love each other? In other words, I think the kingdom of God, exemplified by Jesus Christ, needs to rise above this stuff, this grumbling, this growl, this cultural pull within us, so that we as God's people can exemplify that we can live in a freedom in the midst of all the bondage that's trying to hook us up. You see, as I think about it, yeah, I got my cemetery plans. I've got my headstone all in place. But what I'm really living for, what I'm really living for is chapter 21 of Revelation. And it's not on the projector. I'm sorry, I added this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away. There's no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be their God. And He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things have passed away. In one way or another, brothers and sisters, I'm praying that in the midst of this time together, we can drop all the stuff or take care of all the stuff that's holding us back from being the people who live into that brand new kingdom that's coming in the future. What are you? Joan? A prayer confession. Forgiving God, we trust you because you are a sure comfort for your people. Your permanence is unshakable, your time unmeasured, and the years are but a moment to you. Yet we're like fading flowers. Our petals withered and gone. A breeze blows us away, and we are no more. Forgive us for not trusting your kindness. Forgive us for speaking words that inflict pain. Forgive us from acting unjustly. In your great goodness, forgive our sin. Amen.